may be seated.
Happy Friday. We're excited. It's Friday. Hey, one quick announcement before we hear the word of God this morning. Sunday night's gathering is at 5 o'clock, and we invite you to come at 5 o'clock. It'll be a time of praise and worship, and we'll have communion, and you will be out by 6. You have our word. So see you Sunday at 5. You could sound a little more excited about it. See you Sunday at
5.
Yeah, nice. Good work. Hey, this morning, I'm excited because we have our second senior witness of the semester. We have Kristen Johnson, who is a senior, triple major in, let me see if I got this right, religion, classical studies, and sociology. So we are excited to hear from her today. Kristen Johnson, maybe sometime when you went to email the professor, Dr. Kristen Johnson, you accidentally sent it to Kristen. So this is who that email went to, if it did. But I'm going to pray for Kristen, and then we'll hear the word of the Lord from her. God, we are grateful for your word and grateful for words. We thank you for the word that you have given Kristen. And we ask now that by your Spirit, you will illuminate in our hearts, in our minds. God, we pray that you will speak through her to us today. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Why don't you welcome Kristen?
Hi. It's weird to hear your voice on this thing. Most of you probably know me as a volleyball player or the girl that always wears sweatpants to class, but today I'm going to talk about another one of my passions, which is my quest for seeking God. So I want to start off with a little experiment. So everyone close your eyes. Now imagine yourself in heaven. Your parents are next to you. You haven't seen them in years. You give each other the biggest hug possible. All of a sudden, your best grade school friend runs up to you and hugs you. You're overjoyed to be reacquainted. You talk to them about the successes of their earthly life, their kids, their career. You spend hours exchanging funny stories about college, marriage, and family. Then suddenly you see the kid in high school who you invited to church a couple of times but never thought really cared. He tells you that you were the reason that he eventually came to faith. You get this overwhelming joy that makes you smile ear to ear. He proceeds to tell you about this paradise that you're in. He says you can eat all you want and you'll never get fat. You can jump off cliffs and fly. You can run really fast and never get tired. And for all you football fans, Tim Tebow is down by the sports complex and ready to sign autographs. Every day is fun. There's no stress, worries, or fear. The weather is perfectly blissful and the sun is always shining. It's the perfect place, utopia. Now answer yourself this question. Does this heaven sound like a place you'd like to spend eternity? After you've answered it, open your eyes. Sounds like a pretty good place, right? The only thing that's missing is God. Heaven isn't supposed to be about any of these things that I've mentioned. Sure, some of them are added benefits, but we shouldn't want to go to heaven for any other reason than we love God. We should want to spend eternity with him because we've been seeking him our whole lives and completely. And finally, we'll reach a place where we get to know him more fully than ever before. First Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "Now we've seen in part and in a glass darkly, but then we shall know and see fully face to face." However, our yearning to know God isn't only about heaven. Seeking to know God is a part of our calling as Christians every day. All of our life should be a quest to know God. Yet understanding God is difficult and requires the active effort of thinking and wrestling. It never happens carelessly or by some sort of osmosis. The Bible most definitely affirms this idea of struggling to know God in the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel. It begins in Genesis 32. Hear the word of the Lord. "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for the dawn is breaking.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go until you bless me.' So the man said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' The man replied, 'You shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob said to him, 'Please tell me your name.' But the man said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, 'I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved.' For a long time, I was confused by the story. It never seemed proper for me for a man to wrestle with God or demand to be blessed. Who are we to order God around, right? However, after struggling with questions in my own faith, the story made so much sense to me. Jacob was desperate to know God. He wasn't going to quit wrestling until God revealed God's self to him. He was going to do everything, in this case physically possible, to be blessed by God. So like Jacob, I'm learning that I need to be willing to take the risk to wrestle to be blessed with the knowledge of God. I need to seek to be theologically grounded. I need to read the Bible and listen to what it actually says and not rely on what other people tell me it says. For me, my faith over the last couple of years has been stretched and challenged as I've learned to know God more fully by balancing what is in my heart and what is in my mind. Growing up, I was taught to believe without doubt. I graduated from a high school that taught that there was no need to question because the Bible gave us all the answers. And though throughout this time I did think about my faith, I realized it was in an incomplete way. The questions were always safe, the answers were always cheery. Looking back on it now, I realize that my thoughts were rather simple, casual, and obtuse. But when I came to Hope and became a religion major, I was taught how to think critically about my beliefs, which made me question at times their very premises. It hit me freshman year that the Bible didn't just fall out of the sky and land on the sidewalk, or someone picked it up and declared it as the Word of God. This revelation made me start pondering about what it really means for Scripture to be authoritative, inerrant, inspired, or infallible. It led me to think deeply about the historicity of both Testaments and where to draw the line between the literal and the allegorical. It also has made me attempt to be unbiased and consider the place of science and evolution in the light of the creation story, as well as to sort through some seemingly contradictory passages in hopes of creating a more complete view of the context in which this collective book was written. All of these notions and many more have made me wrestle with God, and though everyone's search is different, I believe that it's imperative that every Christian actively search. As serious believers, we should want to know God and be interested and curious about this belief system that we're in. Yet unfortunately, I cannot promise that any of this will be easy or painless. For those of you who know me personally, you know that wrestling and coming to terms with the evidence for these questions has been a struggle. It's left me confused and sad at times. But I've been comforted in the fact that knowing God is worth the hardship and is more important than going along with the status quo or having the quote-unquote right belief. It's more important to seek and try to understand his truth than to be indifferent or believe what is easy and comfortable. One day, after feeling quite disheartened after one of my famous life debates with a close friend, he sent me a quote by Plato, which I literally read every day to encourage me in my pursuit of God. It reads, "Most people, including ourselves, live in a world of relative ignorance. We are even comfortable with that ignorance because it's all we know. When we first start facing the truth, the process may be frightening, and many people may run back to their old lives. But if you continue to seek the truth, you'll eventually be able to handle it better. In fact, you'll want it more. Many people around you may think you're weird or even a danger to society, but you don't care. Once you've tasted the truth, you'll never want to go back to being ignorant." Thus, my college years so far have been a long and uncomfortable quest for what this truth is and what the truth is about God. Nevertheless, the journey is worth it, for this is what life really is all about, isn't it? Discovering who God is. For me, seeking God by thinking about what I believe has made my faith a lifestyle and has made me breathe in new ways, as it will for every Christian. And it surely offers a better alternative than aimlessly sleepwalking through life. So I encourage you today to take the time to know God, or at least what you think about God. Wrestle with him like Jacob did. Struggle. Love God with your mind. Know him. And if you ask the hard questions, I think that you will find that like Jacob's limp that remained with him for the rest of his life, those who risk to struggle with God will prevail and will bear the mark of his anointing, along with the peculiar realization that a limp is by no means a disability, but a blessing. Go in peace.